Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with the greatest co-host in the entire galaxy, far, far away or otherwise, Randy Justin. How you doing, Justin?
Fabulous, thank you.
How you doing, Randy?
Fantastic. How you doing?
I am doing super awesome because I saw a couple great movies. This podcast is going to be pretty heavy Star Wars, but I just wanted to start just talking real briefly about a couple films I saw over the weekend. I saw Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and Wonder Woman. And I can honestly say that Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales is a very fun movie and definitely worth checking out. We've got fucking zombie sharks. I mean, that alone is worth the price of admission. Javier Bardem is incredible as Captain Salazar. He's terrifying, and the only small gripe would be this is the third undead ship of crew we've had since we had, you know, obviously the Black Pearl crew, we had the Flying Dutchman crew, and now we have, I can't remember what this ship is called, but their crew is also undead, but they look amazing. Like, they're like, some of them are not fully formed and stuff like that. So, Pirates of the Caribbean, definitely worth checking out. And Wonder Woman, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about it next week once everyone else has a chance to see it. But it is it's a lot of fun. It's definitely my favorite entry into the DCEU, which is not saying much if you know how much I just completely loathe Zack Snyder and the movie that is Suicide Squad. But it has second act problems and has a finale problem, but so do all comic book movies. But we'll talk all about it next week. So now, Star Wars.
Wait, I'm sorry, real fast. Where did you say it ranks in the DCEU?
I mean, out of the three
movies,
it's definitely the best.
Okay. So, yeah. So there's four total, right? Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, and then Wonder Woman.
Yes. I would rank it above and by a large margin. And most people are. It's got a 90-something percent rating on... 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, which doesn't mean that its overall score is 97%. It just means that 97% of the people who have rated it on Rotten Tomatoes have given it a favorable review.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, on to Star Wars, Vanity Fair. Randy, did you pick up all four copies?
Actually, I got zero copies of Vanity Fair.
What the fuck, you Fairweather fan?
I have so much Star Wars stuff cluttering my life as it is. I've never been a real big fan of the ephemera. I mean, anything paper related. I have some older magazines, and I didn't even save all the... I used to get Entertainment Weekly, and they did a bunch of Star Wars covers. I didn't save any of those or anything. I don't know. It just seems like every year we're getting at least one Star Wars movie, you know, and we're ramping up to the point where there's going to be multiples in a year, I have a feeling. There's just too much Star Wars stuff out there to collect. So I did not get the Vanity Fair, any of the covers. Nor will I in the future. However, I do enjoy looking at the pictures online.
I'm going to take this opportunity, like 1 minute into the show, to go off on the first major tangent that will probably take us away from the conversation for a while. What do you think? Well, okay, so maybe ramping movies a year. What do you think the likelihood is that they end these episodes at 9? Yeah, they with the Finn Rey Poe universe. Then they continue to make standalone films, and then they wait like 10 years or so, and then they try to recap fervor that you know, episode 1 and episode 1 got by 10 years later bringing back Rey and that cast for like in episode 10. Do you think that's a sound strategy for Disney, Randy, and do you think that's something that they could do?
I think it is a sound strategy, but I think they're going into this with the mindset of a 5-year-old. In as much as, okay, let's say we do go with your plan and we give the saga characters a 10-year break. Ideally, I'd like a little bit longer so we can have a little bit more time established between episode 9 and episode 10. So there's a little bit more of a time jump. But I think Disney's going to be like the greedy, impatient 5-year-old that, he sees you bring home a carload full of gifts for his birthday, and he doesn't want to wait that extra week or two till his birthday. He wants to open them right then and there. So I think Disney is going to say, you know what, we got this big old wad, we want to shoot it, and they're not going to be able to wait those 10 years. I think they're just going to blow it early.
Well, let me augment it for Justin then. So, you know, I don't know if they'll ever go 2 movies a year with Star Wars. I hope they don't. I think that might be too much Star Wars for coming from someone who loves Star Wars. Say, you know, in June, they're supposed to have a plan for, you know, June's a couple days away. Their plan for their next standalone film, which they'll probably announce at D23. What if their new franchise they announce at D23 is like an Old Republic series, and that way they're almost like setting up a new franchise, something that could take the place of the episodes in order to afford us that time gap. So now we could have, you know, so we're going to have Han Solo. So we have episode 8 this year, then Han Solo, then episode 9. Then we go to a Knights of the Old Republic film. Then we go to another standalone film. Maybe we go Kenobi. Then we go Knights of the Old Republic 2. Another standalone film. Knights of the Old Republic 3 capping off that franchise. Another standalone film. And then at that point, there's now this, you know, 7 or 8 year separation to where at that point they could all of a sudden, you know, the fervor, maybe the polish is kind of off. And people are like, well, maybe we have too much Star Wars. And then, bam, episode 10, Rey and everyone comes back, assuming Rey doesn't end up a bad guy. What do you think of that plan?
I think that's a nice idea for Star Wars fans. But when you're jumping around timelines like that, it might confuse the general audience. And they wouldn't know what the heck's going on. They're like, where's Vader? Where's
Star Like a Rogue Jar? Nation, Rogue One thing?
Yeah, exactly. If they found a way to title it, you know, Star Wars: The Old Republic, you know, something like, or whatever it's called, so whatever the new timeline is or old timeline, if there's definitely a way to sort of bookend that franchise versus the new franchise or the current franchise, that would probably make more sense. But I mean, I'm a sucker for Star Wars, so I'll eat it up. Anytime there's a Star Wars motion picture show, I will go see it. That includes re-releases, for crying out loud.
All right, well, what do you think, Justin, your best guess, what do you think the movie they announced at D23, the next standalone film, what do you think it's going to be?
With all the buzz about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ewan McGregor wanting to do it, I think that would be fantastic.
All right. Randy, other than Obi-Wan Kenobi, because Justin took that one, what would your best guess be?
I still want to see a Bounty Hunters movie where they all come together to do some sort of like Ocean's 11 style heist. I know for a while we were talking about maybe that would have been the plot of Rogue One. And even since then, after Rogue One has come out, I've still heard rumblings of some kind of Bounty Hunter team up movie. I'd be all over that.
This is where I'm McLaughlin about wrong.
Yeah, wrong.
This series is going to be Admiral Ackbar's standalone film.
Yeah.
Next question.
That's 3 minutes.
He comes on, he like clears his throat, like, it's a trap.
Yeah.
The entirety of the film. Yeah, no, I love both those ideas. I think a Kenobi movie would be really good. The only problem I have with the Kenobi movie is that we're kind of getting stuck in between the episode 3 and episode 4 era. You know, that's where all of the, you know, the Rebels animated series is between 3 and 4. Rogue One's between 3 and 4. The Han Solo movie's going to be between 3 and 4. And then if we bust Kenobi between 3 and 4, well, I will be happy as punch to see Ewan McGregor returns Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'd really like to see something that takes place in a different time frame. Like, I would really love to see something that took place between 6 and 7. I think maybe they might be saving that until they finish this sequel trilogy. But that's a time period that's really ripe for mining. And a lot of the novels, you know, the Tarkin novel, the Thrawn novel, a lot of them take place in between 3 and 4. And so I'd love to see Disney kind of get out of that time period. Like, right. An older book would be great. I know we're all fans of that time frame. I don't know if it's a little too out there because there's no connective tissue, and that's kind of a risk for Disney.
See, I mean, personally, I would like to see what happened between episode 6 and 7, and that's not entirely possible as far as revisiting some of our favorite heroes, but at least we would get a better understanding of how the First Order came to be. A visual understanding, that is, as opposed to comic books or novels.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see like a Snoke, not a Snoke origin, but like kind of like, you know, how he convinced Ben to turn to the dark side. You know, you could do that really. I mean, you could accomplish that. I mean, even if you had Luke in it, I mean, he would only be like 6 years younger than he is now. You know, it's not like it would be noticeable.
It's definitely worth visiting, but of course, you mentioned the Knights of the Old Republic era. You know, that's several thousand years. What is it, like 2,000 years before? It's 2,000 or 5,000 years before the events of Star Wars. So that's a clean slate all around, and it would be a million new characters to fall in love with. And that's when there was an entire Sith sort of armada, and you know, Sith versus the Republic, and that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and expanded universe nerds, I mean, Revan is like God to them. Like, that's most, you know, outside of Thrawn, I would say that Revan is probably the most popular expanded universe character. And not saying that an Old Republic movie has to feature him, since, you know, the old canon has been kind of shit-canned. But it would be a real nice way to ingratiate themselves with the expanded universe without having to really do much heavy lifting as far as, you know, I understand why they had to shit can all of the stuff that took place after Return of the Jedi, because most of it contradicts everything in The Force Awakens. But you could throw a bone to something that's so far removed from this saga, and, you know, you could tell a Revan Malak story. I mean, they would probably want to change it so it's not exactly like the game, so people would be like, oh, you know what's going to happen. But that would be a really cool adventure. What do you think, Randy? Interesting. Fucking interesting.
My mic was muted.
That's fine. Well, what era would you like to see mined? You know, like we were talking, between 3 and 4 seems to be getting a little saturated. In between 3 and 4, where would you like to see films take place?
I'm definitely all about the idea of the Old Republic, because it's a timeline that a lot of people are already familiar with, just from the video games and from what comics that we've got from that era, that kind of thing. But I also wouldn't be opposed to the idea of seeing something even further back than that, or let's time jump way beyond all the characters that we've seen before, hundreds of years into the future, and see something like that. Because that gives enough time from the eras that we are familiar with to, you know, anything could happen in the galaxy between the events of the saga films and, you know, something that takes place 1,000 years later. You know, you don't have to have any returning characters. You can start anew, and you can just have something entirely fresh. But in terms of just what's ripe for the mining, I think the Old Republic era is a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, you could start a whole series. I mean, anything Star Wars is, you know, going to take off if done well. I mean, you could easily set up, you know, a trilogy in the Old Republic, and then you could start spinning off from there as well. And I think it could just be like almost like a rebirth of Star Wars. You know, these would be all new characters. You know, no Skywalkers. There'd be none of this, because right now everything in Last Jedi, when something comes out, the first two questions are, is it Snoke? Is it Rey's parents? No matter what, any character, any planet, any tidbit of story, it's like, is it Snoke? Is it Rey's parents? To where if you sit in the Old Republic, you could kind of have this like clean slate, to where no one's going to expect someone named Skywalker to show up, and no one's going to expect any Solos and stuff like that. So, and you guys are onto something. You guys are pretty smart. Just have your ears to the ground, I think.
So, you know, real quick, I'm sorry, minor tangent, but there was a trailer for Star Trek Discovery that was released, and it's kind of cool, it's neat, but it takes place like 10 years before the events of Captain Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise, and I was just reading the comment section, and a lot of people were just a little sad that it didn't take place after the events of, like, Next Generation, like, go further in the future. Why do we have to keep dwindling in the past when there's so much more to be discovered in the future?
Yeah, I think that's
so great. You talking about jumping ahead in Star Wars sounds like a fun idea, just in the event that, you know, talking with these Star Trek folks, they feel the same way. They're like, let's move on.
Yeah, I think the benefit of I think the problem with Star Trek is you can only go back so far because eventually you get to where we are, and that's not Star Trek. To where Star Wars, going back is almost like the same as going forward. Mm-hmm. Like it's like to where going forward, you know, you risk, you know, showing your hand a little bit as far as what's going to happen in the future. Like if all of a sudden it's the Empire in charge, you know, you never know. But yeah, I didn't really care. The trailer for Discovery was kind of all over the place. I didn't like that. That has to take place in like the new Kelvin universe, but when we interviewed them at Comic-Con, they clearly said it was in the Prime universe, and so I don't know what's happening.
Well, and that was also when Brian Fuller was still involved, and now he's bailed out, jumped ship.
Yeah, and didn't they make a big deal that Janeway was the first female captain or something like that? Or
I don't think so.
Well,
at the time she was
on
television. Not in Star Trek per se, but
television. I don't think it was definitely like TV history, not necessarily Star Trek history. Not fictional history.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah, it just looked like it didn't have like a thing, and I'm like, I would watch this if it were on CBS or UPN, but I'm not gonna pay $9 a month to see
watch. Oh, $9?
I think it's $8.99 for CBS All Access.
Oh,
but what you could do is if you're patient, I guess you could just wait till the last episode airs and then sign up and then just binge it over a weekend and cancel it after like 4 days. Unless you're really into The Good Wife and you want to watch that spinoff as well.
Fucking Randy, I'm sorry, I just got your text. sorry. You knew my father? Yes, I did. Remarkable man. What an asshole.
I thought you'd enjoy it.
Sorry. Showstopper.
Speaking of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Killed it. But yeah, back on track. Let's get this train back on track. Episode 9, we're now learning, was going to be a Leia-centric film. Episode 7 was the Han film. Episode 8 is going to be the Luke film. Episode 9 was going to be the Leia film. Obviously, that's complicated now with the untimely passing of Princess Leia. And so now that we kind of have concrete evidence that Leia had a big part to play in Episode 9, it kind of opens up that what should we do box again. And I was curious if, with that information, if any of your opinions have changed on, you know, recast, CGI, or rewrites. I'm still firmly entrenched in the recast. I hate saying it, but it's right. It's what's right for the character if she was going to have a big role in the movie. What say you, Randy?
I don't know, man. Recast.
Have you always been in the camp of recast, or has this changed your mind?
No, this has definitely changed my mind. This is pushing my hand, so to speak. Well, I think I've said from the beginning, if one were to go back and listen to our archive of podcasts, they'd probably hear me say something to the effect of, if Leia was meant to have a large role in Episode 10, I would rather see her character done justice and be recast than to go against the wishes of her family or anybody who may have been a proponent for CG, you know? I would rather see it just be recast, because even if they do CG it, I don't think it'll do her justice.
Right. What about you, Justin? Sorry.
That's it.
Oh, what about you, Justin? Has your opinion changed? Are you in the same camp as you were before? And what is that camp?
Yeah, the camp of the character deserves a proper send-off, an end to their story. It's unfortunate what happened to Carrie Fisher, but Leia has been a permanent fixture in our Star Wars universe, and it seems absurd to write her out of it.
Right. The show must go on.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of the opinion of recast for Episode 9, have that character play out whatever the story arc of Leia is, and then kind of put Leia to rest. I don't need this new Leia to be in other films. Is that kind of where you're at, Justin? Or are you now we got a new Leia, she can continue being Leia?
Sort of. I mean, the best example we can give, at least the most recent example we can give, is Dumbledore. It just didn't skip a beat, and that's a low. I mean, obviously, it hadn't been around for fucking 40 years, but it worked, and we all bought into it. So I think that it is the right move to recast.
All right. Cool. I like it.
Oh, I was just going to chime in. It also would not offend me if they did decide to go forward with more appearances of Leia after they recast her.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't answer that part of the question, Dave. I was so distracted by trying to remember Dumbledore's name. But yeah, if in the event that their original plan was for Leia to make it through to the credits of Episode 9, then I see no reason for that. If there were a new cast member, then that person continue on the role and carry the torch.
Yeah, and if 10 years down the road Disney does revisit the saga films and bring back the new trio of heroes, maybe an even older General Leia can be there as a Mon Mothma type or something.
Nice. I know, I'm sure the answer is no, but are either of you reading any of the Star Wars comics out right now, like the Poe comic or anything like that?
I was reading the Darth Vader comic that got to issue 25, and then I'm also reading the new Star Wars comic that takes place after the events of Episode 4, but before the events of Episode 5.
Ooh, how's that?
Fine.
A glowing endorsement.
I mean, it's okay. It's nothing amazing, but it's Star Wars, so I'll eat it up.
Oh, okay. What you were going to ask is, because in the Poe comic, they're kind of setting him up as like a possible leader figure, like a replacement Leia, to where they're kind of making him kind of a real vital part of the Resistance. So that's what. But back to the Vanity Fair stuff, they gave us our first glimpses at Benicio Del Toro and Laura Dern. Laura Dern is going to be Vice Admiral Holdo. And Benicio Del Toro is not going to have a name in the film. Or I'm sure he'll have a name, but no one will refer to him in the film by that name. He is simply being referred to as DJ by Mr. Ryan.
Dick Juice.
Dick Juice, yeah. Dark Jedi. What stands out to you about, I don't know, have you seen the pictures of Benicio Del Toro? Have you seen the pictures and stuff?
I have. I think there's just the one shot of him. He's just kind of like lounging.
Chilling. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of looks like Jeff Goldblum in that shirtless, or like with his shirt open, just kind of lounging in Jurassic Park. He's kind of got that vibe going, but not showing as much skin. I don't know what his deal is. A lot of people, I think we've talked about it before, but I'll say it again. A lot of people are speculating that is Ezra Bridger. The lead from the Rebels animated TV show. And then Pablo Hidalgo himself has come out saying, come on, guys, can't we just have original characters and not have to tie everything together? Trying to throw us off the scent.
Nowhere did he say that's not true.
Exactly. I mean, of course, he wants people to... anybody in their right mind in any kind of like Disney or Lucasfilm marketing, they want people to continue talking about it. They want people to talk about their conspiracy theories, the Star Wars related ones, of course. They want people to talk about it because they want it to remain top of mind. I'm still of the thought that it would be cool if he was a character that we've already met. But if DJ means Dark Jedi, that would be very cool as well. I don't think, however, Justin, that means Dick Juice.
Well, could it be both? Could he be Ezra Miller and Dark Jedi? Or Ezra Miller.
Could it be Dick Juice and Dark Jedi?
Yeah.
It's a play on words.
Why not? I mean, it's kind of... I was always hoping that Ezra was going to go dark in the series. I guess he still has one season to not let me down. But I'd be all about that. I think that would be great. And I know they have from the beginning said that Rebels was going to tie into the movies, and sure, we did see evidence of Rebels in Rogue One, but it would be even better to see more in this new generation of saga films.
I like it. Do either of these two characters stand out to you, Justin, as being of particular interest, or do you think these are going to be just this episode's Phasma?
Yeah. Oh, we haven't talked about Phasma yet, have we?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Doubled in.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great actors. Benicio Del Toro's fucking the man, dude. I just watched Sicario again. And I just, he's just fucking James Bond in that movie. He's so badass. So, I don't know. I hope he's a cool cat in this movie. I want him to be the big takeaway for me. I'm preparing for the worst with Luke, and I'm hoping that Benicio Del Toro will sort of bridge that gap of greatness.
Do you want him to be kind of a gray character, kind of like Lando was? Or do you want him to be full-on, like, bad dude?
I want him to be sort of a fringe character that can play both sides and do what's best for him. So, yeah, I like a Lando.
Nice. All right. Another thing in the Vanity Fair, we got our first look at Canto Bight, I think is that how you pronounce it. It's a casino world. It's where, like, the 1% of the Star Wars universe live. Ryan Johnson made a point to say, you know, all these movies, they're always in, like, the desert or, like, the snow or something like that. He said he wanted to take us somewhere different, which could be cool. You know, he's not lying. There's plenty of desert shit in the Star Wars movies.
There's an awful lot of Coruscant, too, and there was some upper crust there, I'll be quick to point out.
Well, we got an opera, and the rest of the Coruscant was usually spent in, like, the shit areas.
Not from a Jedi.
I just picture the majority of Star Wars taking place on the wrong side of the tracks.
Mm. Yeah. Nothing good ever happened in Star Wars, right?
Naboo had some very beautiful landscapes and people.
Palaces.
Yeah.
Gungans.
Ryan Johnson's a fucking liar.
Yeah, but even the Gungans looked presentable. They didn't look like they didn't look homeless or anything.
They weren't hoodlums.
Not stealing rims and stuff.
Yeah, they had
swimming up on boats stealing the propellers and
they,
stuff.
They had the cool ships underwater and everything. I don't know. They had it going on.
If the Griswolds drove through there, they wouldn't have to roll them up.
Roll them up.
In maybe disappointing news, we learned that we're not going to get a lot of Snoke in Last Jedi. So, Justin, is that disappointing, or is that just par for the course? We didn't get a lot of Emperor and Empire, and he kicked ass in Jedi.
That's true, but I think it's so hard to talk about this because we have no idea what to expect. But personally, I think it would be a good opportunity to develop the character because we know next to nothing about him. I hate the idea of him being shrouded in this mystery and then they're going to cram it all in the final minutes of the third movie. To me, that's not very rewarding. I would rather... I want to know why this guy is as powerful as he is. What is his role in the First Order? How did he survive that horrible face that he has, his face damage? I want to know more about him. He just seems to be... If he's the ruler of these people, then I want to know how he came to power. That's all. Is that too much to ask?
No. I'm sure the Lucas will come on and talk about tariffs and trade regulations. And
I mean, some characters benefit from a little bit of mystery, you know? Like, Boba Fett was one of those. And... you know, a lot of the bounty hunters sort of benefit from that mystery, but I think that someone that is as powerful as Snoke that creates this fear to people that are equally powerful, or you would think are pretty powerful, I just want to know what his story is, and I think that it's worth visiting.
Do you think they could do it in a way to where they gave us some breadcrumbs in this film for a big reveal in whatever episode 9 is without falling into the trap that most comic books fall into, to where there's so much build, and then by the time you get to the reveal, it's like, man, that's kind of a letdown.
I don't know. See, it's weird because I think Peter Jackson did it best. You know, the opening to Fellowship of the Ring, it crams so much shit into a 5-minute opening, but it's the coolest opening ever. And I really wish we got that a little bit more in movies. You just get a little bit of background to find out why the world is the way that it is, and then we move on. And I hate how comic books do the constant build up and then it'd be a total buzzkill at the end. And most of the what do you call it? The mashups. Yeah, like the events where they combine several different characters from different books and all these different arcs, they almost always have a shitty ending. And I can only fear for Star Wars to fall in that same trap. Only because even these Marvel movies that come out now, all these superhero movies, the ending is always the worst part. The beginning's always cool, but the third act, it always falls apart.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Randy? Does that all sound fair? Or do you have a different take on, would you prefer to keep Snoke a secret for as long as possible, and then we find out it's like something stupid like Mace Windu?
Yeah, you were drawing the comparison before that, sure, the Emperor didn't have much screen time in Empire, but he kicked ass in Jedi. He had about as much screen time in Empire as Snoke did in Force Awakens. So this should be his Return of the Jedi. This should be, you know, he comes out, he's loud, he's proud, and then he's kicking ass, and then we take him down in Episode 9, you know, is what I think should happen. So I'm personally disappointed to hear that we're not going to learn much more about him. Although I'm not going to spoil anything unless you guys deem it's okay to unleash this upon our audience. But there has been some leaked Lego toy pictures, and we do see a minifig of Snoke. And I will say it is underwhelming. That's all I'll say. But
we'll let them Google it themselves.
Yeah, if you really want to look it up. Google Snoke Lego, and if you're really feeling squirrely, also put in gold member at the end of that if you really want a good time. But yeah, it's surprisingly underwhelming. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going with that character. I was so much hoping that was going to be Darth Plagueis, but now I don't even know anymore.
Maybe his skin's missing because he eats it like gold member does too. But I mean, like, Rey obviously has no idea what the fuck's going on in the galaxy. Maybe she could say, hey, who's this Snoke guy? And then, bam, we get, like, a quick, you know, 60-second backstory on how horrible this guy is and what he did to get into power. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say he wasn't going to be. I mean, they just said not a lot. So, I mean, they could do something like you said, Justin. I think that the Lord of the Rings info dump at the beginning is, like, one of the best things in cinema, and I agree with you on that thing. So maybe they could have that, or... You know, maybe he plays a very important part. He just doesn't have a lot of screen time, you know, like he kills Leia.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of cool. Not the killing Leia part, but maybe
doing something devilishly
nefarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we also learned that Kylo is haunted by killing his father. So maybe Randy was onto something. He's not completely irredeemable. So Justin, what does that mean to you, that he's haunted by it? Like, that he's having second thoughts, or that he's not such a bad dude after all, or he wishes, like, he stabbed him somewhere else?
I don't like it.
Hmm.
I hate Kylo Ren. There, I said it.
No, you don't.
I do. I think he's the worst. I liked him when he was powerful.
Think Krennic's the worst.
Krennic is the worst. Kylo Ren's second. Then Jar Jar.
Really?
I hate Kylo Ren.
You're not being serious, right?
I hate him so much. I think he's the biggest little bitch boy I've ever seen in my entire life in Star Wars.
Oh, you hurt my... Oh, you're killing me. He's like...
And he sucks as a lightsaber man.
As a lightsaber man, I agree. His skills are not up to the Luke Skywalker level. I love Kylo Ren. I love what he's doing. I think we're going to see... I don't think we're going to see tantrum. I don't think we're going to see, like, Anakin-level tantrum out of him. I think we're going to see him come into his own and be unstable, but I don't think tantrum's the right word. I think we'll see, like, unpredictable, like a caged animal, like a wounded animal type thing. That's my hope, at least. But, Randy, break this tie.
Beat your chest before you do, though, like Kylo does.
Kylo Ren great or a piece of shit, as Justin said? Don't you say in the fucking middle, Randy. Oh, cool. Both of us will reach this internet. You got to pick a side. And if it's not my side, I it's fine.
He is a piece of shit. I'm not a fan of that character.
The really? Worst.
I think he's got a lot of potential, and I think it might be able to be turned around in the future. But as of right now, he's such an emo little bitch boy.
Yes, he is Spider-Man 3.
So yes.
Outside of Han Solo, he is by far my favorite part of Force Awakens.
Oh, are you nuts?
Man, I love Kylo Ren. Maybe it's the misguided hope that, like Randy talked about in the past episode, that he will have a semi-Jason Solo arc from the expanding universe. But, like, And I'm a big fan of Adam Driver, so maybe that factors into it too. But I love everything about Kylo Ren, and I can't wait for him to just murder Luke Skywalker.
Nope. Not going to happen.
He's going to put his lightsaber into Luke Skywalker's anus and light it, so it's going to look like his dick came out the other end of the lightsaber, but he got sodomized by it. That's my childhood hero I'm talking about.
I can't believe you like Kylo Ren so much. He has done nothing to amuse me. Short of stopping the blaster bullet. That was kind of cool. Like slowing it down.
I just believe... Like, he seems... I just believe his actions. Mm-mm. Like, he seems like the character doing what that character would do. Like, I felt his conflict before he murdered Han Solo. And every time I see Han Solo die, part of me dies.
I don't feel his conflict because I have no idea what made him join the First Order to begin with. What could have possibly have been said or done to make him think that it was on the wrong path and had to go this way?
Only Snoke knows, and I guess we're not going to find that out in this episode.
Like, it seems absurd. I mean, everyone gets upset, but no one goes and... Not everybody goes and kills their daddy for it, or drops out of school and goes and joins the bad guys.
Biker gang, smoking.
Yeah. That's dumb. Good is dumb.
Well, what we know exactly is that Randy fundamentally did break the tie. I might have pushed him in that direction. You were going to go middle of the road, weren't you, Randy?
Before. No, I've never been a real big fan of Kylo Ren.
How can I be so wrong?
You always are.
Always.
Always. Not always.
It's like I admire his appreciation of Darth Vader, and that's where that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
You guys are going to come out of last year to be like, Kylo Ren's a fucking badass. You guys are going to be so silly. You're going to feel so dumb.
I don't know. I hear he doesn't even do anything cool, like wear his mask or anything.
That's right.
Okay, let's talk about that. So in the photo shoot, Captain Phasma and Kylo Ren are both without their masks. And yes. I think that is a mistake. I think that Captain Phasma should always be in character. Much like Dredd never takes off his helmet because, you know, all the other judges can remove their helmets, but then that gives them sort of this, you know, human approach, and they're able to look in each other's eyes, and I think that that would weaken the character. And I think if Captain Phasma is supposed to be this larger-than-life, super-mega stormtrooper, then the helmet needs to stay on.
Yeah, I think during the movie, I don't think we'll ever see her without the helmet in the movie. I think it was just for promotion. I think we will see Kylo Ren without the helmet a lot, because now he's got that cool scar that shifted 1 inch to the left.
Oh, but, yeah, they retconned the scar.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But
because the director said it looks silly, and it looks stupid.
Yeah. I mean, he took...
Rian Johnson's changing Star Wars as we know it.
Rian Johnson is Rian.
Yeah.
I mean, Kylo, he wears a mask because he idolizes his grandpa, but his grandpa only wore a mask because if he didn't wear it, he'd die. It's not like he wore it to be cool, so maybe Kylo will be like, you know what, I don't need this shit, man.
Oh, plus, I think he lost the first mask in the first movie anyway. Because you didn't see him grab it when shit started to go down on Starkiller Base. He didn't retrieve the mask off the catwalk that he just killed his dad on. He just went running like a little bitch.
Akio helmet.
It's heavy. He wasn't running like a little bitch. He was running towards the people trying to leave.
No,
he wasn't retreating. He was attacking.
He had a hitch in his giddy-up. And he was hitting his chest like King Kong.
I think it's that fucking stupid dog shot him. Chewie's next on his hit list. He's gonna have a Wookiee skin rug in his wherever he lives.
That'd be sweet if they go to fight and then it cut to him wearing his skin as like a Shaw. They're on like the snow planet and he's like, oh, it's cold. Let me get my Wookiee coat.
It's like, oh, I feel so much better. And then all of Star Wars fandom just walks out.
I was going to say, and that's when Star Wars officially jumped the shark.
Oh.
Poor Chewie. He's died before. He'll die again. What do you think about the mask, Randy? Do you think they both should just keep their masks as fucking masks are cool?
I do think masks are cool, and I think for a soldier type character like Captain Phasma, I think she needs it. For the photo shoot, I understand why they took it off, because I mean, you want to showcase who is in the armor, because you know she's a recognizable face and a name and everything, and that's great. And even if they do take it off briefly in the movie, I think that's cool too, as long as it's motivated. You know, maybe like, she
cuts her head off.
I don't know about that. That would be pretty cool, though, just to see a head rolling. I always love the imagery of a head rolling out of a helmet. But
so Ewoks can beat the shit out of them with their drums.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It really depends on what they have in store for Captain Phasma's character. If they're going to continue to underutilize her like they did in like Force Awakens, then it really makes no sense for her to take her helmet off. But if she is, if she really kind of gets explored and fleshed out as a human character, then maybe it would be worthwhile, because I think at some point she's going to have another run-in with Finn. And I know in the course of The Last Jedi, Finn is part of a team that infiltrates an Imperial First Order base of some sort. It would be cool if she recognizes him, removes her helmet, and says, "Hey, you know what? I've been doing a lot of thinking since you shoved me into that trash compactor in the last movie, and I think you're right. How about I join your team?" That kind of thing. Then it would be cool for her to take her helmet off if she's like trying to relate to somebody. But if she's just being a badass soldier, doing badass soldier things, then she needs to keep her helmet on.
Because Finn would never recognize her with the helmet on.
Well, he'd never recognize her with the helmet off.
She's the one in the shiny armor.
Well, yeah. I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, if you were to see her out of her armor, he would probably never know who she was.
And if it's so shiny, she's like that baseball player with the clean uniform. She's not trying too hard.
Yeah.
Gotta get it dirty, gotta slide.
I mean, Finn's got a blood hand on his.
Arguably the coolest accoutrement of any stormtrooper.
It's a great way to, like, remember who he is. Like, they had to somehow tag this trooper. And they're like, just give him bloody blood on his head. All right.
They should have their names on the back, like jerseys.
Yeah. Names and numbers.
Yeah. I could get behind that. I could definitely get behind that. Yeah, I think that since it looks like we're going to be split up in this adventure, to our Force Awakens, we were kind of all together. I think with The Last Jedi, you know, it's going to kind of go back to what most Star Wars films have, like a three-pronged attack, and I think she makes a good foil for Finn's group. Obviously, you know, Kylo is a good foil for the Luke and the Luke camp, and then you got Hux with the Leia and Poe group. So, I think we might get some decent screen time for Miss Christie this time around, this go round. But what you won't have is romance. There ain't gonna be no fucking in this Star Wars movie.
I'm kind of bummed. I was really hoping that Finn and Poe were going to get together.
Oh, you shipping the foe? Pin?
I'm all up in the foe.
He's like, keep the jacket on though.
Yeah.
Don't take that off.
I want to look like I'm making love to myself.
Well, they each put one arm into the jacket, so they're connected at the side there.
Now we're talking.
There's probably a Tumblr post out there somewhere where someone has drawn that, Randy.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but Poe's looking all Han Solo-y in his little Hoth-looking jacket in the photo, so that's kind of cool. Since he's the new Han Solo, I guess, but...
More or less, yeah, why not?
But yeah, we got all these new girls introduced, and none of them are gonna have, like, urges in their loins for these heroes of the galaxy?
Mm-mm. Well, I guess when the galaxy's in peril... Your sense of priorities are kind of a little bit more shifted towards survival rather than procreation and recreation.
But you could argue
Luke and Leia.
Yeah, you could argue that procreation is for survival of the species. So technically, they should all be heaven.
Well, yeah, but if you're running away towards something that's coming to get you, let's take a quick fuck break. You know, it's not gonna. It doesn't work like that.
It's like an airplane. I don't want to diverge. That'll align.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to note that Rian Johnson is going to be the only credited screenwriter on this film, which is interesting. You know, Force Awakens had like four writers, and maybe it showed, but four writers to rewrite episode four doesn't seem, that seems overkill. But yeah, so he's the only writer, and they said the ending of the film was not set in stone when they started filming, so maybe they needed a second writer. So when you see something like that, Randy, that they didn't know where they were going when they started, does that kind of, in the back of your mind, set off some bells and whistles?
It certainly does, because it's like, we're going to set this ship afloat on the ocean. We don't really know where we're going. We'll just let the tide carry us. That's kind of precarious. That's either leaving a lot up to chance, or maybe they had a good solid idea and they were still kind of trying to decide, well, do we want to go this way or this way? So maybe it was up in the air just for that reason. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I also read something kind of disturbing just yesterday, I think, that when The Force Awakens was created, was written, there was zero plans for episodes 8 and 9. So that means there is no single overarching story that was intended to be told with this new trilogy from beginning to end, the way Lucas always did the movies, even if he wasn't directing them. He always had kind of a, well, except for with the original trilogy where he didn't know Star Wars was going to be a one-off, but you know, by the time of Empire and Jedi, he kind of had an idea where it was going. Like, now it seems like we're kind of back in that realm where The Force Awakens was great, but it set up something really kind of wacky, and now other people are having to kind of bend and conform to, just to kind of try to tell a satisfying story without any kind of roadmap to go on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah, it sounds like they wanted to gauge the reaction of the finished product of Force Awakens. And then I think they always had an idea, but nothing was committed to paper. And once they had Force Awakens at a good spot, then Abrams and Rian Johnson worked on 8 and 9, and then Trevorrow came on late in the process and put, you know, his stamp on it, so they could have like a cohesive kind of thing. But what's also interesting is that Rian Johnson wrote episode 8 based off of a version of episode 7 that doesn't exist. You know, obviously there were a lot of reshoots of episode 7, and his original draft of episode 8 was based off of the first cut of Force Awakens, which was drastically different from the final cut. So what's you, Justin? Anything anything setting off any whistles, or you just think like, they're just keeping it loose?
Keeping it loose. I like that. Yeah. Play it by ear. They get the feedback that Luke should have been in the movie, and then they put him in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what the big feedback is? Hey, we'd really like to see Han, Luke, and Leia together on screen again.
Yeah.
And they can't go back. They can't unbreak the egg.
That's,
you know, they
fucking
can't.
Fucking J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Botched
job. That's where they shit the bed, I think.
Yeah. And forgot to wash it.
Yeah. I think Abrams is going to get a lot of ire once this new trilogy is done and everything comes together. I think, you know, Rian Johnson's kind of already been saying a couple things that, like, you know, Abrams backed him into a corner here or there, but, you know, we'll see if people look back on Mr. Abrams fondly when this is all said and done. But Justin, Luke had some Luke. He has a name. His name is Mark Hamill. He had some unkind words that he originally said to Rian Johnson, saying that Rian Johnson fundamentally disagreed with Rian Johnson's characterization of Luke Skywalker when he first read the script, and he has since recanted his statement, saying that he, as is often the case, he was 100% wrong. Is this just him saving face? Mark Hamill's been pretty vocal over the years, because he's fucking Luke Skywalker and he can do what he wants. Do you think he means what he's saying when he recants it, or do you think it's just like, I gotta get butts in the seats?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to put out a fire there. Because I think, having not seen episode 8 yet, but I mean, the thing that Daisy Ridley said was, you know, don't meet your heroes. So they are literally going to make Luke out to be a piece of shit in this movie, and Luke feels, at least Mark Hamill seems to feel the same way that we do, that he's the hero, he's the badass, he needs to be kicking ass and taking names, And instead, I was joking about him just being all chubby and eating like a turkey leg or some shit on this island. And I honestly think that that's what we're going to see. And I'm going to be so disappointed. And I'm scared, guys. I am totally scared of what we're going to see when December comes around. Like, it's terrifying me right now. I feel like it's just going to be rewriting Star Wars altogether, and I'm just going to have to forget that these movies even exist. I hope so. We talk about Kylo Ren having any redeeming qualities, and I'm wondering if this franchise can be redeemed, because I'm so just irritated by it. I mean, I'll take the prequels at this point. I got some fun little romps out of the prequels, but as of right now, I am not happy with where Star Wars is going.
Wow, that is a hot take. I think we'll be all right. I think that the first 20 minutes are going to be rough for us old school Luke Skywalker fans. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping it's kind of like Rocky and Creed, to where like he didn't want to train Creed, and then like he was like openly hostile towards him. But then once he got on board, he's like full on board, and that's what I'm hoping happens.
That's fair.
You know, that by the end he lights that green lightsaber and he makes us proud. I just want Luke Skywalker to make me proud in this film. Like all was so important in Episode 7 by not being there. That, you know, I've got to find Luke because we need to do this, or we got to find Luke so we can kill him, or we got to find Luke. That it would be very disappointing if this whole movie was about finding this fucking guy and then he turned out to be a limp dick. So I have faith. Do you have faith, Randy? You gonna break this tie too?
I got faith. I think I really don't think they're gonna make Luke out to be the piece of shit that he could be. I have faith that they're gonna do his character justice. But I've been wrong before.
What if that's why Kylo Ren leaves? What if he's like, man, this fat old Luke sucks p-noose in a bad way, and I don't want to be a part of it? What if that's why he leaves?
You can't mess up Luke. I mean,
they did.
How hard can it be? Well, no, they messed up by not showing him for some stupid reason, which still baffles me. You know, that's Abrams being a fucking idiot. But as far as, you know, once now that we actually are going to have Luke on screen, you know, it's kind of like Han and Leia to an extent. Like, it's really hard to fuck them up because, you know, A, the actors know these characters and so they can put on subtle nuances in their performance. But, I mean, everybody at Disney has to know what the fans want from Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm not saying they have to give us everything in the world we want, but they have to give us the hits. It's like, that would be like, you know, Metallica performing but not doing like Enter Sandman or something like that. Like, sometimes you just got to play the hits. I will be very upset if we get a very negative Luke Skywalker from start to finish. Like, I will cry in my seat. There will be sad tissues instead of the happy tissues I expect to have.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be disappointed.
No way. Can't be. The optimist in me will not allow it.
Yeah, he's just going to sit in a lounge chair, eating a turkey leg, barking orders, talking about how shitty the world is around him.
He's like, you got it easy. I had to have a green fucker on my back when I did this shit.
Yeah.
I'd eat his stew.
Yeah. Moving snakes out the way. There's a snake in my boot.
There's a snake in my boots. That's the bulk of the Vanity Fair stuff. It's four covers and stuff like that. There was also a lot of, you know, it was a love letter to Carrie Fisher. A lot of the coverage did focus, about how they would miss her. I guess, not Finn, but John Boyega had a real good story about how when the whole black, you know, there's no black stormtroopers, that Carrie Fisher was kind of the girl who just said, fuck them, what do they know? And it sounds like she was a real inspiration to a lot of the young cast members. So, again, tragic.
Oh.
Is there anything else from the world of Star Wars you guys wanted to chat about?
No. Oh, yes. There is.
I like your enthusiasm.
So, I know. I was in dinner tonight, and we were talking. I was with Felix, and we were talking about just the Clone Wars. And I got to thinking that the Separatists aren't all that terrible. especially in that they have most of the droids doing the fighting for them, whereas the Republic was so horrible that they breeded an army of humans to die for them. That's pretty fucked up.
That is pretty fucked up.
I don't think I like that. I don't see how the Republic are the good guys in this scenario when they are literally breeding an army to fight for them.
But to be fair, the Separatists were sending those droids to attack real people. Like, if they were just using the droids and they were being attacked and they were using the droids as a defense mechanism, then yeah, you would be 100% right that they're better. But they mass-produced these trillions of droids to send to other worlds to kill people. To where, in theory, the clones were only sent to liberate worlds and to defend the Republic. You know, obviously, we know there's more nefarious purposes behind the clones, but that would be my take. Yeah. But Randy, you can agree with Justin on this one if you want.
I think it is pretty atrocious to create any kind of organic life to go essentially be a meat shield for you. So, yeah, maybe the what? Oh God, what's the name of their organization? Starts with a C.
The Confederacy Independent Systems.
Yeah, yes.
Are you saying with the Separatists, Randy?
Yeah, maybe the Separatists have the right idea.
With the squid heads and
the Techno
Union?
The Techno Union Army.
You know I'm not a pro union guy.
And the banking guilds? The Munns? Yeah. You're voting with the Munns? You know, Darth Plagueis is a Munn.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Maybe he was onto something.
But is that legal?
We will make it legal.
I will make it legal. Why don't you tell me how a bill becomes a law?
Bunch of Separatists over here. I gotta pull the Anakin card. You sound like a Separatist.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
Padme thought like you, and she's dead.
Oh, yeah. But she gave birth to really big babies.
Yeah.
If I gave birth to two big babies, I'd probably die, too.
Of a broken heart? Mm. She died with a thought, how did such a small penis make such big babies?
Wow.
I don't know if you qualify that.
I was watching a different movie. Okay.
Fair enough. Is that it?
Well, I got a fun little list if you guys got a couple minutes.
Yeah, go for it.
Are you guys going to watch Wonder Woman this weekend? Are you excited for it?
Yes, I have my tickets already bought.
Ooh, nice. What about you, Randy?
I do not have my tickets purchased yet, but I am looking forward to seeing it. I love me some World War One in my movies.
I just saw the fucking
thing. Where's your list?
All right. So I have a fun list. Wonder Woman is, you know, she's been around for 76 years. And when she started in comic books, women was not so welcome in the arena of comic books. So it's a fun list. It's the five most embarrassing moments in Wonder Woman's comic history. Did you guys know that Wonder Woman was so broke she had to take a job working at Taco Wiz, which was a Taco Bell-like thing?
What?
And it got directed to this place called Taco Wiz, and like she had to like beg for the job, and she took so much pride in her work that she would try to break her record by making tacos and burritos blindfolded to see how fast she could do it. Like she was a military person assembling a rifle.
Oh, wow. My God.
Let's see. She was also So at one point she was part of an organization called Wonder Tots, where she was transformed into a small child for some reason, and she fought crime as a baby. But and there is some very phallic imagery. At one point she's trying to defuse this torpedo, and this torpedo has a face, but it looks like a penis. Very bad. I was surprised that this was only number three instead of number one. Did you guys know that? You guys know what the Justice Society of America is? It's basically the Justice League, but for Earth 2. And so in the 40s and 50s, they were kind of the big group. You know, Justice League of America wasn't formed yet, and they were so progressive that they allowed Wonder Woman to be the first woman into the Justice Society. However, they didn't want her to be a teammate. They hired her to be her secretary.
Oh, shit.
So Wonder Woman was the secretary for the Justice Society
That's
of America.
Awful.
And not only that, is she's like, they're like singing about like a song like "For She's a Jolly Good Fellow," and she's just like eating it up like this is like the best day of her life to be the secretary for the Justice Society of America. there was a short-lived spinoff in the 90s where female or 80s, sorry, where female empowerment was at an all-time low, to where she basically became Barbie Captain Planet. So she wore all these like fun little outfits, and it was all about like makeup tips and how to like be a good like homemaker, and really, really terrible portrayal. And number one is, do you guys know what Wonder Woman's kryptonite is?
What's that?
Like what her weakness is?
Mm-mm.
If she is bound bondage style by a man, she loses all of her powers.
That's hot.
So if a man ties her up, she becomes completely powerless, and she doesn't have her strength or any of her abilities.
What?
And you'd be surprised how often it happened in the early days. And it's pretty terrible. That was like her sole weakness for like so many years, was that if she allowed herself to be bonded, if like her bracers were bonded and tied together, she was completely powerless. So poor Wonder Woman. She definitely gets better treatment in this movie than she got for the first like 40 years of her existence. So, yeah. Wonder Woman spins around like Linda Carter.
Oh shit.
But she doesn't do that in the movie. I wish she did, because it's cool. But yeah, check it out. Wonder Woman. It's definitely definitely the best DCEU movie, but like we talked about earlier, the bar was set pretty low.
How do you rank them then? Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad?
Yeah, I'd rank it like that. And I've seen a lot of people putting Wonder Woman pretty high on their list of all-time comic book movies. I don't think I would put it in my top 10 comic book movies of all time, but it's probably like an outlier, like right in that second 10. Like, it's probably in the conversation with like you know, like the original Spider-Man, not the original, but like the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, you know, like a really good, solid movie, but it's not, you know, X2 or, you know, Winter Soldier or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Volume 2.
Nope, it's better than Volume 2.
What?
I would put it in that same, like, level, like, you know.
Huh. Interesting.
It's got similar problems, but, like, you know. Well, what I really loved about it was that it, like, you know, Zack Snyder was real big about sucking the color out of the DC universe, and when they're in when they're in the Amazon world, it's so vibrant and colorful, and Robin Wright is an amazing Amazon, and I wish she would just be Wonder Woman, because she kicks everybody's ass.
Oh, speaking of Robin Wright, fucking House of Cards season 5 is out.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. It was pretty good.
I'm curious how it plays in today's political climate.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, because when the last four seasons, you know, we could kind of like sideways root for this maniacal, like, vain leader. Mm-hmm. But now that, you know,
we have one of those.
We have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an if. I'm curious how it's going to hold up, but I'm really anxious to look to check it out. I love mm-hmm. House of Cards,
especially since the guy that's running against him, RoboCop, I forget his name.
Joe McKinnon.
He's a halfway decent man in the show.
Yeah, which means he has to get crushed.
Yeah, doesn't work that way.
Are you a House of Cards guy, Randy? Have you seen them all?
I have seen them all, and I really enjoy the hell out of that show. I haven't seen any of this season yet. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch any of it, but might try to crank one out before I go to bed tonight.
Ooh. Yeah. First one was pretty good. Things. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I was going to start the second episode, but then Felix came over and went to Toys R Us and had a romp.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a show that my wife watches with me, so I can't. Otherwise, I would just binge the shit out of it. But I'm not one of those cheaters. Women take that shit serious now.
Yeah. You gotta watch shows that... Netflix shows, you gotta watch at your own pace. You can't be at the mercy of another person, because there's those times when you immediately want to watch another episode and the other person might not want to. Or you get that hankering, you're bored, you're hungry, and your significant other or watchmate is not available. And it's like, oh, I really want to watch the show.
Mm-hmm. That is my case. My wife goes to bed significantly earlier than I do. So I'll finish an episode, and all of them end in like cliffhangers. Like, oh my God, I got to watch next episode right away. And she's like, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, what? I want to watch.
So yeah, we'll talk about House of Cards next week. Give everybody a week to watch at least the first half.
Okay, I can get the first half done by next week. So House of Cards and Wonder Woman. We'll talk about that tomorrow, next week.
Okay. Can't wait. No more Star Wars. Star Wars is canceled.
No way.
Done.
There'll be plenty more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Well, shit, with your attitude, you hope it's canceled.
I do.
I didn't know you were so bleak on it.
I am.
Is this like recent? Or I know we were all kind of down on Force Awakens, but I remember you being so dour on the future.
It all happened today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
When you were walking through Toys R Us?
It was when I was walking through that Disney store and I saw Krennic and I just got mad.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He is kind of a bitch.
Yeah, he made me just really mad.
I was sad that you like Jar Jar more than him.
Oh yeah. I'll take 50 Jar Jars over one crying Krennic.
Well, at least Krennic gets it in the end. It doesn't get worse than him.
That's true.
Like they basically didn't shoot that whole citadel just so they could shoot him like point blank.
Anywho.
Yeah. Anything else, guys?
No.
Randy?
That's all I got.
Alright, well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geekly Podcast. As always, we would love it if you could go to iTunes and give us a nice review or a ranking or anything positive would do. And make sure you go to GeekLegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And while you're there, you can listen to the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven. And they was talking about something loco this week that I can't remember. I was listening to while I was cleaning my garage, and I was like, man, that boy's loco. But it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And Justin's always in such a fabulous mood when he talks to his buddy Stephen K. James.
That's true.
You're always like a happy camper.